You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Dodgers. I am Allison Futter from MLB.com, and I am here with my colleague Ken Gernick, who has covered the Dodgers all season long and throughout the playoffs for MLB.com. And now we're at that point where we are going to wrap up the season. It was a quick exit for the Dodgers. They had all kinds of expectations, and of course that comes with the fact that they have a very high payroll and a lot of superstars, a lot of all-stars, big names on this roster, but could not get past the Cardinals in the division series for a number of reasons, which we're going to talk about. So, Ken, let's just talk about the playoffs briefly, and then we'll move on to what they need to do in the offseason. Obviously, I mean, the biggest thing, the most glaring thing, was the bullpen, and the teams that didn't have effective bullpens in the postseason are home, and the teams that do are still playing. So if you had to pinpoint one thing, would you just point it to the bullpen and the fact that Mattingly really didn't have a bridge between the starter and the closer?
Yeah, that was it, and it wasn't just in the playoffs, even though they won their division. They won a weak division, but it was a problem really on and off for the whole season. And it wasn't a surprise to the Dodgers either. They came into the postseason with 8 relievers, last year only 7. And while it's only one number, it to me at the time was a red flag that they recognized the fact that that things were dicey. And of course, the domino effect. You can lay the blame if you want to say that they left Kershaw in too long. You know, part of the reason is they really didn't want to go to the bullpen. So it did have an effect more than just in the 7th or 8th inning, because it did affect how Don Mattingly managed the whole game.
So what did you say? I mean, you've watched him obviously more than any of us have. Just the way that, I mean, Mattingly has gotten some criticism. He's gotten some praise, but he's not that well regarded for being a tactician and his in-game moves. So what do you overall think? How do you think he handled the playoffs? He benched Puig for that last game, saying, you know, just playing easier gave us the best chance to win the game. It was kind of a bland statement that said nothing. But what did you think just about his managerial skills throughout maybe the season and the playoffs, or, you know, whatever you want to address?
Well, I think the problem with this team is that it really requires many managers, and you can only have one. You need the tactician, and maybe that's not his strength. But behind the scenes, this team is a mess, and it's a real challenge to manage. You've got egos, you've got millionaires, and you've got a kid in Puig who's very unpredictable, very volatile. And I'm only going to guess here, but the fact that Mattingly was so evasive as far as trying to explain why he didn't start Puig in that last game, I'm guessing that Puig was not ready to play, whether that's emotionally, mentally, I don't know what. But when you strike out 8 out of 9 times, everybody points to that triple that he hit in the middle of that. But that was 1 for 9. Okay, so he's hitting 111 over that period. And in those other 8 bats, he wasn't putting the bat in play. You know, Yadi got into his head right away in the first game. It was obviously a tactic that St. Louis had thought about and had put in place, knowing that if you can get into his head, you take him out of his game. And that's exactly what happened. It happened last year, too. So the Cardinals knew what they were doing, and I think it worked. And I think by that leading into Game 4, I think Mattingly knew, and he probably talked, if not to his coaches or Puig, that Puig was not really ready to play championship ball at that point. That's my feeling. That's my guess, just from watching and listening. So I don't take him to task on that, and I really feel he almost gets a pass on his handling of the pitching, because the pitching was a mess, and he really had no good options.
Yeah, I agree with that. I didn't have any issue with. I didn't understand why people were upset that Puig wasn't playing. I saw it the way you did. I mean, it wasn't that he wasn't getting hits in those other at bats. He wasn't even coming close to the ball. So there's definitely something wrong there, and I didn't think there was anything wrong with putting somebody in there who might actually be able to do something. I was also a little bothered by just sort of the, and this is what social media does to us, because I sit on Twitter and I read all these comments that make absolutely no sense, but, you know, just that Kershaw is a postseason failure. I get what happened in game one. I totally understand that. So it's not like he has, you know, mowed him down or anything in his postseason career. But I'm watching him in game four. He's pitching on short rest, and he just looked like a guy out there on an island by himself. He had to, you know, he had to get them through, almost like be perfect through a complete game, and anything short of that wasn't going to be enough for the Dodgers to win this game. And so I just feel like the criticism is a little much, because for anybody to come back on short rest, I mean, the Cardinals only had like one hit through six innings. That's plenty good, and that should be enough to help your team win the game on a lot of other teams besides maybe the Dodgers. But how do you kind of look at Kershaw as far as how he fits into this whole postseason equation?
Well, you know, I mean, he gets beat with really two bad pitches. You know, he gives up a three-run double in the first game and a three-run homer in the second. And, you know, I mean, I don't know how you criticize the guy. You know, he's probably the MVP of the league. And, you know, if they had a proper bullpen, he wouldn't have been managed that way. So, you know, it's just... you know, it was a perfect storm, really, for him to have a repeat of what happened last year, and it's really unfortunate for him that, you know, he pitched so well for so long, probably will be remembered, you know, for the, you know, one of the few flaws that came up, and, you know, part of that was, you know, because of St. Louis again, and because it was an elimination game again. You know, for those who were lucky enough to see him all year, you realize that this was the exception, not the rule. But, you know, he's on the big stage. And, you know, he just did execute the perfect pitches, you know, in the toughest part of the game, and winds up losing.
So moving toward the offseason, I know there seems to be a little strife going on. There's some rumblings that Coletti's job might be a little bit in jeopardy. We don't really know what the status is there. We may not hear anything until after the World Series on that. Who knows? But let's assume that Ned Coletti stays in his job and they're not going to be looking for a general manager. What do you think? Do you think the payroll is going to come down? Are they just going to keep spending more money? What areas do they need to improve? I say that knowing that obviously the bullpen is where they need to improve. But how do you see the offseason shaking out for them?
Well, yeah, whoever the general manager is, and I don't know what they're going to do, and they're not really tipping their hand yet, although they sure haven't ruled out a change, and they've had an opportunity to do that. But, you know, as far as the roster goes, the roster is pretty well locked up. You know, almost everybody is signed to a multi-year deal. They've got almost $200 million committed already. For about 15 of the players. So, you know, they really only have three or four questions. They've got to resolve shortstop, and so they've got to make a quick decision on whether to extend a qualifying offer to Hanley Ramirez. And that will trigger several other moves after that. Either he's back. I kind of think that won't be the case, but it could be. And it can't be controlled just by the team. It's, you know, it's a two-way street there. So they have to resolve shortstop. They're going to need a fifth starter with Josh Beckett retiring and Chad Billingsley coming off surgery. And, you know, the bullpen, even though they've got four players signed to multi-year deals or are locked up, so they don't have a lot of flexibility there, but they've got to resolve their eighth inning. And that's probably going to mean bringing in somebody either through a trade or free agency. So those are really their key points for the offseason.
Okay. Well, we will keep our eye on it. And, Ken, thank you for all of your good work this season and for joining us on this weekly podcast. And enjoy the winter.
The most popular way to follow every pitch of the postseason is with MLB.com At-Bat, the number one mobile app for live baseball. At-Bat brings you live postseason baseball wherever you are with dynamic features such as live radio broadcasts, replay reviews, scoreboards, highlights, stats, series schedules, and more. Get the award-winning MLB.com At-Bat app for your favorite smartphone or tablet. Visit the App Store or MLB.com today.